right, now I'm going to go to scripture today from Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from His love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Was this my scripture or Dixie's scripture today? You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges, He took the humble position of a slave, and was born as a human being. When He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated Him to the place of highest honor and gave Him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. In 2004, which amazingly was 12 years ago now, I felt like I might be being called to the ministry. Perhaps as a pastor, perhaps as an evangelist. And I decided I would go back to college and earn my bachelor's degree. I did some checking, and from when I went to school in 1980 and 81, all my credits that I took back then were still good. They never expire. Did you know that? If you had college credits in 1952, if you went back to college today, your credits would still be good. And so I knew it was going to take me 3 years to get my bachelor's degree. And so I was 42 at the time, and I thought, well, you know, in 3 years I'm going to be 45. And in 3 years I'm going to be 45 with a degree, or I'm going to be 45 without a degree. That makes sense, right? If I live 3 more years, I'm going to be 45. And so whatever I do in these next 3 years, it's not going to change the fact that in 3 years I'm going to be 45, but it's going to change the fact as to whether I have a degree or don't have a degree. So I thought, even if I'm not called to the ministry, that it would be good to have a bachelor's degree. So I went to college, worked full-time. I would stop in Parkersburg because I worked south of Parkersburg, lived north of Parkersburg, and my employer worked around my schedule, so I would stop on my way to school or to work. I'd stop at school, then I would go to work for the day, and then frequently I would stop on my way back, go to school, and then go home. And I did that for 3 years. And in the fall of 2007, I graduated with a bachelor's degree from WVU Parkersburg. So I don't know if I'm technically a graduate of WVU or not, but I am of WVU Parkersburg. So that was 3 years went by. Then in 2007, I began seminary. And if I took the classes that I needed to take in the summer, some extra classes, I was going to be able to graduate in 3 years. And so I did take the courses I needed to take. And in 2010, 3 years later, I graduated from United Theological Seminary in Dayton, Ohio, with a master's degree. Master's of Divinity, it's called. So it's like a master's of religion. So I could go and teach at any of the colleges now. I could teach religion courses at any of the colleges if I so chose, and if that was a priority for me time-wise. 3 years went fast when I went to do my undergrad, and 3 years went fast when I went to seminary. The years didn't seem fast when they were occurring. You know what I'm talking about. But looking back, it went pretty fast. Diane has one more year of college, and it doesn't seem like it's gone very fast, does it? But 5 years down the road, she'll look back and say it was a blur. Or even maybe when she graduates next year in May, she will look back and reflect and think about what's happened. And so Diane and I are coming to the end of our third year in Short Gap. And in some ways, it feels like a long time. Just like anything. And in some ways, it feels like I'm still the new pastor here. And I remember looking up Wesley Chapel when we knew we were coming here, and I remember telling Diane, oh, honey, it's going to be so nice, because I looked up, it's Ridgely. So I looked up and said, you're going to be able to run across this blue bridge, and I'm looking at Google Earth, and I can see the blue bridge. And I said, you're going to be able to run right across that bridge and run in downtown Cumberland. And she said, oh, that's going to be nice. Turns out it wasn't in Ridgely. I remember Diane and I meeting the PPRC at Gayhoff's before we officially came here. We came over one day to meet the PPRC, and Dawn paid for our dinner. And I remember one person, I said, I'm a hard pastor to sit under week in and week out, because sometimes I preach butt-kicking sermons. And I don't mean like anyone stands out there saying, man, preacher, that sermon kicked butt. I mean people walk out going, oh, what size shoe does he have? Because sometimes the word, if you preach the word, it's convicting. And I remember one person at the PPRC meeting saying, I think we could use our butt kicked. And I remember who said it, but I won't throw them under the bus. It wasn't Dawn, I'll tell you that. I remember driving 25 miles an hour up the mountain, bringing the U-Haul with all of our stuff in it, hauling my Ford Taurus behind the U-Haul. It was the biggest U-Haul that a person without any kind of special driver's license was allowed to drive. And then on top of that, I was hauling a car on the back. And I remember driving 25 miles up the mountain. You know you're going slow when the semis are passing you. I remember how many people came to help us unload the U-Haul. I remember, and there was a lot, I remember having a GPS to get to the mall. I remember not being able to get across the tracks to the mission when the train blocked Baltimore Street. And I remember driving way down by Pages even to get across the tracks when the train was across there, which is all the time. And I didn't know that all I had to do was follow that Hancock sign and it would take me over the interstate and you just bypass the train like that. Before I knew anyone's name, I remember Charles Goff sitting in my office telling me a little about himself and a little about the church. And he told me that he's had some pastors here he didn't agree with, but he's never had one he didn't like. And then it wasn't a month later that I remember standing out in the field with Betty and her family when His body had fallen and his soul had raised. I remember when they said we did 23,000 eggs last year. And I remember Diane saying, "You mean 2,300? And they said, "No, we mean 23,000. I remember trying to get people to go on a mission trip just a few weeks after we got here, and nobody would go. And then I remember just about a year ago, 17 people going to Haiti. I remember 10 people going on a mission trip to Oklahoma. I remember being called into the district superintendent's office because someone called to complain that I talked too much about Haiti. I remember starting 9:30 worship with 7 people, and now we're rivaling 8:30 church. And today we might beat 8:30 church since 8:30 was so early. I remember starting the Wednesday night dinners and how one person really expressed concern that they didn't want the dinners started. They're not here anymore. I remember talking to the Orioles, not the Baltimore Orioles, but the short gap Orioles, before their first baseball game 2 years ago, and standing in the dugout and telling them that the umpire's not always right, but you always have to respect them. I remember someone accepting Jesus at the altar one Sunday morning, just yelling out, "Lord, now I know why Satan didn't want me to come here today." I remember doing Benji and Robbie's wedding, and the whole time I'm doing the wedding, I'm trying to remember which one's Benji and which one's Robbie. I didn't plan that wedding. Martha left me that wedding. And both could be a boy or girl's name, couldn't they? That's pretty bad when you're doing a wedding and you're looking at him and you're going, "Okay, is it Benji or Robbie? Robbie?" And while this sounds like, "Oh, it's been nice and it's time for me to go," that's not where I'm going today. I don't anticipate leaving anytime soon, because what Dixie just said is so true. I believe the difficult times behind me here, and I believe the future is bright. And I believe that God has great things in store for this, His church. It's His church. It's not your church, and it's not my church. It's His church. Anybody have an amen for me? We are His church. And I remember on Friday, I told Diane, "I don't even know what I'm supposed to preach about Sunday. I mean, I've got several things, and nothing's really..." And, you know, you go down this road, it's a dead end, and I don't know how to explain it to you as a pastor. And then yesterday, I sat in my office for about 6 hours, and God gave me what I'm speaking today. And what kept coming through my mind is how fast 3 years goes. Jesus' ministry, while He walked on the earth, was, guess how long? 3 years. I know many of you knew that already. The ministry of Jesus begins with His baptism in a Judean countryside in the Jordan River, and it ends, most people say it ends on Thursday night. It ends on Thursday night with His last miracle before He died on the cross. You know what the last miracle before He died on the cross was? I never thought about this till yesterday. What's that? I think it was He put on the guy's ear. That was a miracle, right? Peter cuts off the guy's ear, and Jesus says, Peter, put away the sword, and he picks up the ear, and he puts it back on the guy's head. Before he died on the cross, you could argue it was a miracle that he lived through the beatings, and you could argue that it was a miracle that he said, today you will join me in paradise. But the last physical miracle that I feel like he did, and I never thought about it that way before, he puts back on the guy's ear. So Luke 3:23 says that Jesus was about 30 years of age when he started his ministry. That's Luke 3:23. He spent about 3 years training the disciples, performing miracles, evading those who wanted to kill him because it wasn't his time yet, and eating with the wrong people and getting on the wrong side of the right people. Isn't that a good phrase? He ate with the wrong people and he got on the wrong side of the right people. And I can imagine how he reflected on how fast 3 years went. He would have remembered arguing with John to baptize him. And John says, you're not baptized. You're going to baptize me. I'm not baptizing you. Jesus said, no, John, you're baptizing me. He would have remembered hearing the Father in heaven say, this is my beloved in whom I am well pleased. He would have remembered not eating for 40 days, and then Satan comes. When you're weak, Dixie, that's when he comes. He doesn't come when you're strong. He would have remembered his mother Mary telling him at the wedding at Cana of Galilee that they were out of wine, and changing the water into wine as his first miracle in public ministry. He would have remembered walking by the seashore, calling out to Peter and Andrew, follow me and I will have you fishing for people. He would have remembered admiring the faith of the four people who tore off a roof, and four people lowered their friend down so that he could get to Jesus. And he would have remembered telling the man, your sins are forgiven, take up your mat and walk. He would have remembered defending the disciples who were accused of blasphemy because they had disgraced the Sabbath by taking some wheat out of the field and eating it. He would have remembered his cousin John being beheaded by Herod. He would have remembered walking on the water and calling out to Peter, only to see Peter take his eyes off of him and start to sink. He would have remembered those disciples, how he had to have been frustrated with them so many times. He would have remembered them arguing over who was the greatest. He would have remembered feeding the 5,000 people with just a little bit of fish and a little bit of bread. He would have remembered when he took Peter, James, and John up the mountain, and there he had fellowship with Moses and Elijah. He would have remembered Nicodemus, the woman at the well, Lazarus, Mary and Martha, Zacchaeus, blind Bartimaeus, the leper, the woman who touched the hem of his robe. He would have remembered the rich young ruler, and he would have remembered all the kids. And it seems like only a couple of months ago that he preached the Sermon on the Mount. And now here he is, 2 weeks from the cross, a parade into town next week, and then a week he's probably been dreading for 3 years. And man, did those 3 years go fast. He'll have a Last Supper with the disciples. He'll teach them about his upcoming sacrifice by telling them to take the bread, and that would represent his body, and to take the wine, and that would represent his blood shed on the cross. He would tell Judas to go do what you have to do. He will pray in the garden with such anguish that drops of blood will come out of his pores. And the disciples keep falling asleep, just feet away. He will hear the sound of soldiers coming. He will see the light of their torches lighting up the night. He will tell Peter to put the sword away and then put the guy's ear back on that Peter cut off. He will take the most unjust punishment that has ever been doled out to any person who's ever walked on the earth. It's the most unjust punishment that anyone has ever received. If you ever think that you've been done wrong, it ain't nothing. And as he is whipped and has the crown of thorns not just placed on his head, but pushed into his head, the energy he has left will not be enough for him to carry his own cross. But he'll have to have someone help him. And they will carry that cross to Mount Calvary. They will, God will pour out his wrath on that cross. I think I probably cover all this today because most of you, we go from the Sunday before Palm Sunday, and then next week's a parade, and then the next time that you'll see this church will be Resurrection Sunday. Most people. Some people will come on Thursday. Some people will come on Friday. But for most of you, we usually skip all of this. And so we're going to have a parade next week, and God willing, the sustainable palm branches that I ordered online 2 months ago will be here this week, God willing. It's palm branches that in which they pay a fair wage to the people who harvest them, a living wage. In South America, they'll come from. And God willing, we'll have a parade next week. And then we'll come back and celebrate the resurrection. But you all today are remembering how fast 3 years must have gone. You are the reason that he was obedient unto death. I am the reason that he was obedient unto death. Even death on a cross. We were destined for hell, separated from God forever. And it's not necessarily that you're even that bad a person, but you were born into sin, as was I. And we can live a relatively good life, but because we're born into sin, each of us has at least some small sin against the perfect and holy God who created us, and we are forever separated from Him but for Jesus. Glory to God, but for Jesus. Yet because he is merciful and because of his great love for you, whom he created, instead of punishing you, he punished his son. And it's a take it or leave it option. You can accept and be saved and follow him, or you can reject it and worship a false god like Allah or Buddha or one of a million Hindu gods Or you can worship the God of the American dream and money. Or you can reject it by telling yourself that you're a good person and he would never send you to hell. And here's the irony, is that he doesn't want you to go to hell. The reason that Jesus came and left heaven, do you know that Jesus was in heaven before he came to earth? The reason he came from heaven was to make a bridge for you and me to cross so that we can be made right with God. And so as we go through the next 2 weeks of the Easter season, I hope today's sermon made an impact on you. As I'm sitting and normally I don't read my sermons. Quite often I do type them up just like I did this one, but I felt like that God spoke to me in such a way yesterday that I didn't want to get off track and get it wrong today. And so, what a great God we have. Amen. Who loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. And though we don't know, the calendars don't go back to tell us what day it actually happened, this is when we remember it. And this is when we celebrate it. And so I'm going to close with prayer, and then we're going to close with a song on a video this morning. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I am just in awe as I have covered what must have been going through Jesus' mind. We can look back in our lives and realize how fast 3 years goes. And 3 years ago, it didn't seem like it was going to go fast. I guess it doesn't go fast from the front end, but when you look back on it, it went pretty fast. 50 years goes pretty fast. 70 years goes pretty fast. And we can look back on our lives and reflect at the times that we have let you down and the times that you have been there for us, which is really all the time you're there for us, but we just don't realize it. But we thank you for what Christ did on the cross. We thank you for his great love for us, that he loved us so much that he gave up his life for us and took the wrath that was due us. And I pray that no one leaves here today without at least knowing that he is the only way. And I pray that they've accepted that way and choose to follow him. And I give you thanks as we go through the next 2 weeks. And I pray that no one here forgets that it's not about bunnies and it's not about eggs, but it's about the sacrifice of your son and the victory that he won for us. And it's in his great name that we pray. The name above all names. We pray in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.